Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
That's a true fact.
Justin Robert Young.
Hey, friends, I'm here for you.
And Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hey, everybody, I'm over here.
Hey, so there was a really big announcement. We didn't actually have time to cover it last week. And I want to get into it, just jump right into it. And what that was is the week before, we had the first real kind of media event by Elon Musk-backed company Neuralink. Neuralink, for those of you who aren't familiar, is a company that's working on brain-machine interfaces. Because part of the idea, if you know, ultimately, if you want to be able to fight the robot AI uprising, maybe we just join the ranks by connecting our brains to computers. And there's a lot more that than that to the company. But the idea is they're working on technologies that bridge that last gap. You know, if you think about, you know, we're, look at like the idea, the evolution of the first you watched people on a play, then you watched people on a movie screen. And then it got closer, you watch people on a TV screen. And then it got closer, you watch people on your computer sitting on your desk. And then it got closer because you stared at your phone. And then it's going to be contact lenses. And then, or gargles, then contact lenses. And the next step is just going to be just wire you right into the brain. Which.
So is the primary purpose of Neuralink the consumption of media? Or is there a control of media? Is it a two-way street or a one-way street?
Oh, I mean, their goal starting off is like helping amputees control electronic limbs and helping people who have, you know, brain injuries and all sorts of motor functions. It's basically just allowing the brain to directly control things. It's you know, they didn't talk anything about wiring a Netflix into your head. That was just, you know, me.
In the presentation they talked about cochlear implants, which is a mm-hmm. data in point. So mm-hmm. it's like if they're I'm wondering if they have a bigger focus on more data out of the brain or data into the brain.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of equal because doing both is what allows you to do stuff. You do a thing, then you get a response to it. So part of what they talked about their innovation was is, you know, they mentioned some benchmarks for, you know, brain interfaces, which is a real thing. Like Brian just pointed out, cochlear implants, you know, putting wires in the brain, you know, to clusters of neurons to control things. What they're working on now is they say they've increased like 100x, you know, the efficiency. They have much, much thinner wires. They've built this robot that can surgically insert these things, but they say they want to get to the procedure like LASIK, because you have to put these tiny, tiny, tiny little wires into the brain, and you the more close you can get to specific groups of neurons, the better. You know, a lot of what we have now just hits broad groups of neurons where you just sort of have to, like, you know, trigger them in a very, very mass way and not finely attune them and send feedback back.
So the comp is LASIK in that, you know, the idea of screwing around with your eyes is something that is horrifying and obviously very high stakes. But yet LASIK has, you know, progressed to a period where it you know, for my wife, it was literally an in and out procedure in like 30 minutes mm-hmm. and she fully recovered by, you know, the next day. So they want to do that for brain surgery.
Precisely, precisely. And, you know, for eventually down the road that any one of us who wants to have this sort of interface. And they talk about for the medical uses right now, you would have this interface, you would control it. They literally show an iPhone app that you would control it from to say, this is what the app controls. This is what it's able to do, which, you know, I don't want to yada yada, but like, obviously there's security implications. There's all those other sort of stuff. And like, it's a concern, but it's worth watching the presentation.
So what were the big highlights for you? Because spoiler alert, I'm not going to spend 2 hours watching the presentation.
I think for me was one to see how far along they were, was to see, you know, what their goals were and focusing on, hey, and it's the obvious thing. We need to make these leads tinier. We need to be able to make these things tinier to connect to the brain. Two is for them to make an announcement. Yes, we are this far ahead of where everybody was. You know, yesterday people thought state of the art was this. Now they're coming out saying, no, we've done this. We've had this. We're way. This is way further along than where people thought it was. They made a big talk. You know, they talked a lot about they said, we're telling everybody this because we want to work with institutions. We want to work with other people. We're at the phase now where we have to, you know, partner up with universities and researchers to move it forward. And so there's no point to us keeping secret what we're doing.
That's interesting because they do. They have to move into the scientific open research mindset. When they got robots putting electrodes in the brain, are they punching through the skull? Or are they cutting the skull open? And am I misunderstanding how the blood brain barrier is a thing? That are you puncturing that when you do that? How does all that work?
Yes. So yeah, you're basically, the ideas are using tiny little, these minuscule threads, and they talk about how like they're, you know, a tenth smaller or something like that, 100 times smaller than a human hair, and those are going through the skull into the brain, and you have to go to different parts of the brain to do different things. So the idea is they have this, they showed off the surgical robot they designed, which is to do the precision placement of these threads. Then the goal from that is they want to do their next generation, or, you know, further out, they want to use just a laser system basically to do that. They want to have a laser that goes in there and connects these things. So they showed that you can see the machine. And then it's also cool, they show a timeline there. I think Bryce had that there for a moment, which shows you kind of like, you know, they want to start doing human trials next year. You know, they want to start moving into that. And it kind of follows this sort of, you put some connections into the brain, right? You figure out how to target things. So like they want us to do, you know, due to treat, you know, quadriplegia due to, like, they point out to spinal cord injuries at the C1 and C4 vertebrae, right? So they're saying, hey, we think we want to try to treat people with this. So we want to look for people who's are having these issues and see if we can't, you know, provide them, you know, finer control, whatever. So there's a lot of, you know, there's these medical goals they're trying to do. And the first thing is to helping people with paralysis. And they're looking to do next year to start those first studies, which is exciting. But, you know, the end of the day is, you know, the long run is, you can see the roadmap is tinier threads and better ways to do it. Because, like, yeah, Brian, having a hole puncher go in the back of your head and put these things in there, no matter how tiny the hole puncher, is still scary. They think they could get to the point where it could be a laser and you'd never even notice. It'd be like, you know, and I mean, you'd notice, but you wouldn't like feel pain. So
where in the catalog of Elon Musk backed projects, you obviously have ones that are functioning businesses like Tesla and SpaceX. You have ones that are still in a little bit of a provability phase, like Boring Company. And then you have stuff that he's just kind of put out there, like Hyperloop. Where, you know, of those functioning Musk industry arms, like, what is Neuralink the most like?
You know, I would say part of what, like, works, you know, the all those analogies come down to where he says, hey, here's an engineering problem that we've not thrown enough time in right questions at. You know, I mean, we've had rockets for, you know, rocketry as it is, has, you know, been around for almost, you know, a century and haven't changed a whole lot. And then he says, okay, you know, some people suggested, what if you bring parts of the rocket back using, you know, this thing or whatever? Can we do this now with where the technology is? People have always wanted to do this. What's changed now? Let's go look in the last 10 years, 15 years, what's changed in manufacturing stuff to say the thing we thought we couldn't do, we could do. Electric cars. You know, you couldn't start a really good electric car company in the 1990s because batteries sucked. All these things just didn't, weren't there, you know, but you could start on like a car company in the 2000s because of cell phones and everything else have driven, you know, lithium phone, you know, lithium battery development down to the point that it made sense to build a car on top of 2000 batteries. So he's really good at saying, here's a problem that what it really needs is, you know, I need to get a bunch of experts together and a bunch of money, which it's been done before, but now's the right time where you have the biggest impact.
So how involved is he? Like, this is on a scale from Hyperloop to Tesla. How much of Elon's personal focus is on Neuralink?
You know, when he gave the presentation and he spoke with his other researchers, it felt like any other CEO who's heavily involved with the company in the stages of where it's at. You know, Elon handled a, you know, number of questions, knew that, deferred them to other people for more specifics on that. But, you know, you have some and I would say that the difference between Elon and other tech CEOs who have really cool, sexy startups that, you know, they fund, a lot of times they feel like a guy that's sort of like, I like what you're doing, I'll throw some money by there and I'll stop by. And they have kind of just an investor's level understanding. Elon has an engineer's level understanding. He's not, you know, he's not the most qualified, you know, propulsion scientist in the building at SpaceX. He's not going to be the guy who knows the best about, you know, machine interfaces at Neuralink. There are experts for that, but he's the guy that understands enough about what everybody's doing that he can get up there and have a conversation or talk about them and bring them together and understand probably what's important and stuff. So you get an idea that he's, you know, he's, I think he's one of the smartest CEOs we've ever had as far as just a broad knowledge of stuff.
You know, the other thing that Tesla's really good at is having a top-down commitment to customer service on Twitter. So, you know, anybody, you could just be any random jamoke and start asking the CEO of the company when they're going to start including Audible in the playback, and you know Elon Musk will just come right back.
Oh, wow!
I got the Bluetooth slapped down from Elon Musk. I asked him out, like, I saw that he was on Twitter and it was like 20 minutes ago prior. And I'm like, oh, I'll just ask him. Hey, any chance for, you know, Audible support? And I threw in the obligatory, I like player of games too, you know, like one of Elon's favorite books. And he writes, can't just play through your phone or play the phone Bluetooth. And it's like, you know, as Chris Rock says, you know, I could dial the telephone with my toes, but you know, it's like, doesn't make it a good idea. Yeah, I can. But then I have to plot my phone to control. What's that?
Oh, just joking. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's to be done.
Yeah. So that was funny. So like, yeah, he responded. I'm grateful for what they did, you know, and Audible support is not need to be a priority for them. It would make my life easier. And, you know, my point is that, you know, I like to listen to my media without having to touch my phone when I'm in a car. But, you know, he responded. And I was, you know, and then I made a joke afterwards, like, you know, Henry Ford never responded to me. Never. 8 years I drove a Ford. Never a tweet. Never anything.
Yeah. I tell you, it shows you a commitment. But all right, so
interesting thing that happens when you get an email response from Elon Musk, he replies to you, the pile on from everybody else.
Oh, you get just all of a sudden rip your mentions of
look at this guy getting smacked down. Look at this, and I'm like, it's like getting slapped by Frank Sinatra. Like, hey everybody, I met Frank Sinatra.
Man, your only response to all of this should have been person by person. And I'll give my rebuttal this Friday on Discovery Channel when my Shark Week special, Andrew Main Ghost Diver, airs.
Yeah. I don't need a submarine.
I'd build Audible support in the suit that I made myself when on that I'll demonstrate on Friday, August
2nd. I challenge Elon Musk to a battle. 80 feet underwater and shark infested waters with suits of her own design.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's great. No, so that's this Friday, huh?
What's that?
It's Friday.
Friday.
It's Friday. Andrew Main, Shark Week debut, everybody. Do yourself a favor and retweet. Andrew had a great tweet just reminding everybody to yell to the voice assistant of your choice, be it Amazon's, Apple's, or Google's, to remind you to turn on the television Friday, August 2nd, 9 p.m. Shark Week. It's Andrew Main, Ghost Diver.
Yeah, check it out. Speaking of Elon Musk, last week, just a few days ago, it tested the Starhopper. So Starhopper is the test platform they want to use because they've got these brand new Raptor engines, which are the methane engines they want to use to power Starship, which is Elon Musk and SpaceX's plan for basically building a fully reusable rocket that can go to anywhere, you know, just about anywhere in the solar system. You know, the two stages, the big booster stage, the Starship goes on top of it, and it uses what we pointed out, the Raptor engines or these super powerful methane engines. So the first step is to build a test platform, which is this Raptor-based platform called the Starhopper. And they said, hey, we're going to try to do a test of this. And they did a test a few days ago. And this thing, when it's hard to see because they did it at night. All you see is this cloud of smoke. And you have to kind of Zubruder it to figure out, oh, damn, this thing went up like 60 feet and moved to the right. And that's what the thing did. Or minute one at 20 feet or something like that. And so the thing has lifted off without a tether. It's taken off. You can see it actually rising up there, you know, and it flew to the side, a distance and then landed again. And they're going to try to go again in like a week or two for like a 200 feet. And Elon says, you know, in a few months' time, we may see the Starship take off.
Wow. And so these would be another hop test just to make sure that everything on a base level can go up and come back down.
Yeah, just incrementally moving from one. This was just a test of the engine systems on the Starhopper, and then they're building the full stack of the Starship, which they're building a test to Starship, which will be something that's going to go up, you know, ideally extremely high. And then when they do the full version, which will go, could go orbital. So this is moving at a fast pace, you know, which is, you know, often a criticism of SpaceX that maybe they go too fast, but, you know, I like that better than what we were doing before.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, part of the thinking is that, you know, what they're trying to do is get this thing developed as quickly as possible, because we have that, we want to make it to, you know, we want to go back to the moon. And if we can have SpaceX show that, like, listen, our tech is ready, fund us.
So I assume it was unfair, attention-grabbing headlines, because next to the success of the Starhopper jump were headlines saying SpaceX set fire to 100 acres of wildland. Was that just a case where it's like, yeah, that's why you go out and buy this land so that you can accidentally set fire to it?
Yeah, it was a much smaller burn than the headline said. They took the total size of the preserve and said they set fire to this whole thing. And yeah, the rocket took off and you know, something caught on fire, and they let it burn out and they put it out. You know, it's, you know, the kind of sort of thing you
grass
in Florida
fire.
And Texas, we see those kind of controlled burns done all the time. But you know, it was, I haven't heard, you know, the stuff I've dug through, it wasn't like a big deal. You know,
yeah,
it was like,
I think that grass. If you're not from around here, the idea of 100 acres of grass fire sounds like a thing. And it's like, yeah, it's not a thing.
No. Yeah, there were already, when they do this launch, there are fire trucks and stuff on the scene. It's all there. And so I don't think that, you know, and it's like, because you see the headline, oh, they set fire to about 100 acres. You'd read the actual amount that it was on fire, and it was way less and whatnot. But God. Progress. Don't complain. Just let it happen. No, you got to be careful at all this. And maybe it's maybe a bigger deal than we realize. But, you know, I just, you know, like we said, we're from Florida and Texas and stuff, and we see these sort of controlled burns done in areas all the time. So,
yeah, it's certainly not anything that, you know, should be the headline. Right. It's it's just another another element. But
it very much was the headline on very many outlets, which is such a bummer.
Yeah, it's hard. Part of the problem is it's like, remember when we covered when they did the Grasshopper, right? And we showed this thing taking off and landing out there in the middle there. And it was, people didn't understand. People were like, is it camera tricks, whatever? And nobody understood the scale of how big that was, right? Because you see this thing in this remote field, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And it felt like as cool as just a big drone taking off or landing. And you're like, no, this is a 9-story building that just took off and landed. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool, but... oh, they crashed one. I guess that's newsworthy. And you're trying to explain to people, like, no, this is what's really, really cool about this. And the Starhopper thing, it's like, yeah, you just see a cloud of fire and a smoke, and it's hard to go, like, no, this is like the first full flow combustion engine, you know, rocket engine like this. It's this. It's like blah, 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 blah. Oh, a fire. Set something on fire. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Newsflash. Literal newsflash. Rockets cause fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll give you another news flash, and that is that you can support this show at patreon.com/weirdthings. If you head on over to patreon.com/weirdthings, you can give us a little bit of cash. And you want to know what you get for your money? Well, the satisfaction of keeping one of the best shows on the internet live, loud, and independent each and every week. But also, you get easier access to our After Things show, where we talk about creativity, business, and the pursuit of making one the other. And also, like we do sometimes on the After Things show, we talk about the art that inspires us, including Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which we all saw. We have some divergent opinions. You should go ahead and check it out by supporting us at patreon.com/weirdthings.
Justin.
Yeah,
Ryan. Dude. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what to say.
Oh, what do you need suggestions? We can go to the audience. I heard dentist.
Oh no, you can send your suggestions through your lawyer.
Wait a minute. Why do we need lawyers? I mean, like, I had mine ready, but I want to know what you guys needed lawyers for.
Well, I mean, listen, as your friend visiting you here in the county lockup telling you that you two are going to jail, it's kind of scary. Kind of scary.
I don't know. I mean, you know, they say
welcome
we're going
to Prison Quest, everybody, where Justin and Brian go to jail.
I mean, yeah, we didn't do it. Everybody knows we didn't do it. And if we did it, we had the best of intentions.
Brian and I are well suited for this. Don't panic, Bri. Remember, we have portrayed professionally crackhead number one and crackhead number two.
Yes.
You drawing on our rich acting experience for the as yet unreleased Tijuana Jackson movie, we are ready to roll. Don't worry.
Sorry, it's really hard to hear you over the sound of the scraping of this prison shank I'm working on. It was originally pins in my shins.
Good, and I'm just working on my mean mug.
Ugh. Nobody come around here. My buddy's got a shank, and I got bared teeth.
You're in a conference room in county lockup. Be careful, you know.
Yeah.
Let me read the charges. Apparently, both of you, you're in Austin. You're recording a podcast episode, and you were rousted from the studio by FBI authorities because allegations that you guys have been running a criminal enterprise.
Okay, look, I tried to explain this. Scam Nation is just a name. We teach magic. And yes, some of the techniques of deception can be used by con artists, but we're very explicit that we don't want anybody to go out and scam.
Exactly. Let me add to that, that the bookmaking operation I was running outside of the back of Scam Nation is totally legit in the eyes of the one true sheriff, the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I wish these crybabies would stop complaining about their losses.
Well, let me go through this. You guys are being RICO acted because of Diamond Club, which we hear is like kind of a paler, whiter version of MS-13. we understand that you guys have been running gambling. I bring up something about some sort of movie league where you have a betting enterprise based upon feature films and stuff.
I mean, look, betting would imply that there was anything left to chance. I'll have you look at our track record. There was never a chance Team Night Attack was going to win. Come on, man.
Yeah, and again, look, did other people throw in whatever they were going to throw in? I don't know. What are you, my mom? I'm not telling you anything.
Some sort of extortion racket involving something called Patreon or something like this.
I mean, look, it's called joy gifting. It's not an underground payment system. It's just you got extra money laying around. Don't let it clutter up your pockets. Get your money out of the way. Spring cleaning is upon us at the end of this summer.
And by the way, are we running a protection racket? If you mean protection from boredom by having high quality content in your life so you always have a smile on your face and a song in your heart, then yes, proudly we protect our community against that.
One second. Hey man, if you could give me one of your teeth, we could file that down too. I could put it on the tip of this thing. And then that way we'd have we'd both have a shank. Could you give me one of your teeth?
I pull out a very small burlap sack that contains my baby teeth that I've inexplicably kept with me.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Now I examine them thoroughly and decide that they're probably much more valuable as dice and begin to make them into cubes.
All right, go ahead, lawyer man.
I'm not your lawyer. I'm just your friend, just telling you what the charges are. And also, remember, like, that law that we passed, we didn't realize that we brought in the worst of, like, other countries' sort of, like, libel standards and stuff, where, like, insult is now and not just a civil offense, it's actually a criminal offense.
You're saying we finally have evolved to the sensibilities of England where we have to prove that we didn't libel somebody?
Yeah, and you know, to take any offense or whatever could be construed as...
Well, I mean, look, honestly, what the big deal on that is, name one thing we've ever said that's made anybody upset, ever. You can't. Yeah, everybody loves us. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think that a lot of these impressions are great. They're not denigrating the responsibility or reputation of well-known media figures. After all, I asked my friend Brian whether or not this was a flattering impression.
yeah. And for the record, I don't know what I said that gave the impression that I didn't like Captain Marvel. If that's what this is about, yeah, I could be talked into its merits.
Well, we have an amicus curiae from Brie Larson, R.L. Stein. the list goes on of all the people who joined in on this. But listen, I'm just your friend telling you these things, okay? Telling you the fact that I will be the judge, irrelevant. I am impartial. Totally impartial to this. At
all right, listen. I would like to declare that my counsel is going to be Justin Robert Young. And I'll be his counsel. It's the easiest way. It's the easiest way.
As your lawyer, I recommend that you do what you've always done in the face of government intervention. Let's sit Indian style on the floor until this all blows over.
Fortunately, we got the best lawyer. You do have some fans out there. They've hired a lawyer for you.
All right. Hey, Brian, look, we barely just sat down Indian style and it's already working. So who's our lawyer?
I mean,
good news. We got him cheap because we got an internet lawyer certificate. Barrister Bryce Castillo Esquire.
Hold on. I was going to – for the record, look, hi, Bryce. It's wonderful to see you again.
Would you like some coffee?
I have a standing arrangement Cappuccino? With the firm of Sockman Goldfarb and Goldfarb. I would really prefer to go with our traditional lawyer, but I guess
he's practicing anymore, Brian.
I don't know that person exists.
He moved into lucrative real estate.
Yeah, it turns out he wasn't there, so you didn't really have to pretend.
I thought we were all just pretending.
You understand that the reason Bryce is here, no offense, Bryce, just hasn't been a kind of a lot of liars because, you know, well, the other thing, I mean, the big charge.
Come on, guys. Let's be real here. You're charged.
You know what you did.
I mean,
there are a lot of people at Dragon Con, and I don't know why you guys got the blame as your friend, but the blame kind of fell right on you guys.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that universally every major IP creator laid the copyright infringement super bomb at our feet for all of Dragon Con?
Well, after the ones that were still alive, yes.
Oh,
dear. The other bomb. There might be another. It sounds like there might have been another bomb.
Or the ones that weren't roaming through the streets.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. You want to know what? I'm not too ashamed to admit it. I don't know what you're talking about, nor do I remember it, and I'm sure I'm innocent. So why don't you just go ahead and lay this fabricated fantasy at our feet so we can dismiss it with a haughty laugh?
I mean, laughter would be nice because we haven't heard much of it since what happened, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, because there are no more children's cries and laughter to hear.
Everybody's a critic. I get it. You guys saw the latest Night Attack. Look, they all can't be winners. We do our best.
Listen, well, Judge, there's something in the Constitution that says we got to know what you're charging us with.
Yeah, well, isn't that literally the Magna Carta?
Lawyer, listen to my lawyer.
Or the habeas corpus.
A backwards and forwards understanding of something in the Constitution.
I believe that there's a thing that says.
There's a thing. Look it up. Google the thing in the Constitution. It's
objection,
right there,
Justin. Objection. Oh. I don't think you're saying it loud enough because apparently old plug ears McJudge face hasn't heard of a little thing called the internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, what about that? Oh, overruled for you. You're overruled on this one. Go to the internet.
This is what I'm saying. Is if somebody can tell us who fed the infected sandwich to the stray dog, which then infected the other stray dogs and all the household pets, which then turned on people, we could maybe make a deal for one of you.
Yeah. For one of us.
Oh. Oh,
what a dilemma.
Number one, we're not breaking up. This is one for all for one. We are going to exonerate ourselves, and nobody's making a plea deal. All right? Nobody is going to talk first, and elongate this for a long enough time so I can silently make a little wink to our attorney that nobody would be making a plea deal immediately. All right. So that's first.
What's up with your eyes?
I got these new contacts.
Nobody's doing it, right? Nobody. Not nobody. Certainly not Brian. Not anybody in general, but definitely not Brian.
Maybe there was a dog, and maybe I ate an infected sandwich. Do you ever think about maybe it was delicious? I don't hear you talking about the quality of the sandwich.
That's the thing, Judge. The Constitution says sandwich taste matters.
Yeah, exactly. Was it a $5 foot long?
Your Honor. I submit into evidence.
I'm not your judge, Brian. I'm just your friend telling you what's going on before you go before the judge.
Which is also right.
Your friendship.
I might recuse myself. It's possible.
Your friendship. If I might submit into evidence, Exhibit A, the sandwich in question, half eaten by a dog. Will you examine, Justin? Does this look like what flavor of sandwich does this look like to you?
Overruled. Stop the stammering. Get to the point.
Will you describe the condiments on this sandwich?
Asking me or him?
Your Honor, to my untrained eyes, I see a little bit of ketchup on there.
Right. Your friendship.
Your friendship, please. You'll see perhaps a bit of mustard in there. Your friendshipfulness. Tell me, do you see a little bit of white stuff on there? What's that? What does that look like?
What does it look like? Well,
listen, guys, I'd help you out, but I turned state's witness.
What are you testifying for? You're supposed to be our friendship.
There is mayo on this sandwich, and there's no way, even if we're trying to take out the world, that either Justin or I would be caught dead putting Satan's tasty baby gel on any sandwich. It would never happen.
That's right. We all hate mayonnaise.
What you're saying is, and I'm just hypothetically here, but in this topsy-turvy world where dogs and cats are eating people and sometimes people eating people, rules can change. So you're telling me you find mayonnaise extremely unappetizing, right?
No, more than that, your friendshipfulness. We find it an abomination, and not even if our goal was to destroy the world, would we engage in that unholy alliance of whipping of eggs.
Please respect our religious rights.
Answer me. So if you were to bite into a sandwich that maybe you had ordered one of your cult members to prepare for you, like, make me a sandwich and use those special ingredients that we were preparing.
Yes.
And you bit into it and you tasted mayonnaise, what would you do?
I, first of all, would excommunicate them. Second of all, would take 12 showers. And then I would have some choice Twitter posts on the topic, Your Honor.
Would you not feed that sandwich to a stray dog if there was one nearby? Would you be like, this is gross, you eat this?
No, I would burn it. I would set fire to it. It's the only way.
Sandwich burned.
Give us a ticket. Give us a ticket for burning a sandwich in the street if that's illegal.
You would let a defenseless animal starve.
Yes, because look, here's the thing, your friendshipfulness. If a dog eats it,
animal laws are even stricter now.
Then the mayo is in the dog, and then what happens when the dog gets hit by a car? It gets eaten by the buzzard, and then the mayo's in the buzzards, and then what happens? Wait a minute.
The circle of life.
Is this how everybody died?
For those of you just tuning in right now, the cult group leaders, and you have to tell us who is the actual leader of this cult, we're curious to know, are being accused of starting, well, a lot of things. They're under a lot of allegations, investigations, primarily because they're accused of concocting and unleashing a super plague at Dragon Con, which is now spread, infecting every household animal. And it's been pretty devastating as animals have been eating each other and eating people. And now reports of people eating people. But it's more interesting to the animals because we've seen that other story play out.
Tell you what, man. If you want to find who did it, you find somebody who loves mayonnaise, Somebody who, for all we know, believes that if they the mayonnaise is in everybody's body, then everybody will be so tasty, nobody can resist eating each other. And although that would actually, I think I'm indicting us because that would make us immune. Yeah.
I would like that stricken from the record because of the law.
All right, all right. Here's guys. I'm gonna go out and go talk to the authorities to see if I can't get a better deal for me. You confer with your attorney, Bryce, and you figure out your strategy. This is what's gonna happen: is you're gonna have to go for a judge. You can ask for bail. You could say like no, and say the evidence isn't there, and he can decide. If not, they're probably gonna send you to that new space prison, which we'll get into next episode.
Okay, well, then we kind of know where this is going to end. But
guys, listen up. I'm your attorney here, and I got something to say.
I gave you a falsely accused. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did you guys do it? You don't got to say? No one is, just us? Did you do it?
Look, I got Stan. I've got kids. Okay.
If you didn't say what?
Of the two of us, which one of us would want everybody except them to eat mayo? Let me remind you, I have two kids with bad food allergies. So you tell me, why would I? I mean, I'm not saying, first of all, neither
Justin
of us did.
Justin knows your children. And Justin knows that you have.
And also, look, if we're really going to start parsing here, and again, team unity, neither no of us one did it. Turning it against each other, right? But who here regularly feeds dogs?
Ooh, Justin doesn't have a dog.
Okay.
We're a unit, though. All right. We're a unit. There's no cracks. This damn, no cracks at all.
I mean, if you want to know who feeds the dogs, we could get Bonnie in here, and she'll make it very clear in no uncertain terms.
Wait a minute.
Are you indicting your children and or wife?
We found our defense. It couldn't have been me. I don't feed dogs. Couldn't have been you. You don't feed dogs. There's only one person in our orbit who regularly feeds dogs.
And husband and wife can't testify against each other. We got this. Technicality. Mistrial. Friendfulness. I move for a mistrial.
All right.
Also, I would like to take an unrelated space trip. So if you have anything on the menu, happy to go to space. That sounds fun.
So you're back. I'm just your friend here. I'm just Andrew.
You've always been our friend, Andrew. Somebody will be always
in my wig. No. In my robes.
There we go. There's his robes.
Andrew, how do you feel about mayonnaise? Because the three of us, we're all against it.
Oh, I love mayonnaise.
Gross. Huh. Oh, go on. No. Explain.
Oh, really?
Who hates mayonnaise? To be honest with
you. Would it be fair to say that you wish that there were more things that tasted like mayonnaise?
Oh.
I'm saying, as a judge who judges people who don't like mayonnaise, I feel a little more judgy towards them.
Now, Andrew, weren't you at Dragon Con?
Sorry, it's a new character.
I mean, he's our attorney. He's representative.
Answer the question. This whole system's on trial now.
You're not fooling me. I know who you are, Bryce.
I mean, I don't know, Justin. It seems a little weird to me. Of all the times I've been at Dragon Con, I almost never see Andrew. Then one day, a mayonnaise-filled sandwich gets eaten by a dog at Dragon Con.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the judge here.
Yeah.
Likely story.
More like Andrew Mayonnaise.
Oh, burn!
All right, fine. I'm not going to be your judge anymore.
Hold on, is that the punishment?
Hey, we did it! Mistrial.
Bryce, you think this is easy? You think this is easy, Bryce?
Yeah, you know what? I think it is easy.
No, you're the judge.
Oh, no, lawyer Bryce is now Judge Bryce. Hey, Judge Bryce.
Okay.
These charts.
What's crafting?
Judge Bryce.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah.
Andrew fed the mayonnaise sandwich to the dog that destroyed the world. That's right. Wow. In the library with the mustard.
I'm back now.
Oh, no. Here you go. Oh, sorry.
All right. Thank you very much. You didn't have to give it back, but now I'm the judge again.
Oh, doggone it. No! Never do backsies. You had it.
God, you're the worst lawyer turned judge turned lawyer again ever.
All right. I'm holding the wig up. Hey, guys, it's your friend here. I can help you out if you plead innocent. If you plead innocent, they'll make you a deal. If you go for guilty, you plead innocent.
Well, I'll take it. We plead innocent. We're not going to go for guilty. You got it.
No, I mean, if you say you're guilty, they'll go easier on you. If you say you're innocent, I get confused if I have the wig on. I'm sorry.
What kind of deal?
This judge, he's a space judge, and he's a space hanging judge.
So he likes to hang out in space.
It probably takes a long time because of the lack of gravity and all. So
I mean, look, all right, hold on, real quick, a sidebar, gentlemen. Look.
Oh wait, I'm taking the wig off. Technically, Bryce, it's not a complete lack of gravity. It's called microgravity. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, wigs back on. Pedantic comments in my court, and I will throw you out, no matter how astute and on the point they are.
Look, if we could get sent to space, which would be fun, but what if they sent us to the Mayo Mines of the Sea of Tranquility?
Okay, all right. Number one, I think good first effort, guys. Number one, everybody pat yourself on the back.
The Mayo Mines. That sounds like a really gross reference to something I don't understand. Okay, back on the
side. Okay. So I think we got away from our central theory, which is we just pin this all on Bonnie. That's a
strategy.
And here's the thing, Brian. It's going to work, so you don't ever have to see or answer for your choices here.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Like, I mean, I know, Brian, I know what you're saying. Oh, my God. How am I going to face this? How am I ever going to face my wife again? First things first, you'll never see her.
Saul.
Number two, how am I going to explain this to my kids? Easy. All the media is going to call her a murderer and a patient zero. Just say, look, everything that the media says is true, kids. Who wants ice cream? Done.
Ice cream.
Oh, guys, I'm taking the wig off. I'm going to give you some advice here, okay? Here's a couple things might help influence your decision. Number one, they have art classes in the space prison. There are art classes there, okay? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, Bonnie likes art, right? Okay, yeah. Just telling you. Also, we have this new thing. There's a little bit of an uproar over like the whole parent-child separation thing and regarding incarceration. We don't do that anymore. We put the children in jail with the parent.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Oh my God! Wait a minute, Brian. No wife, no kids. Boys' night out.
This is a fairly agonizing decision that I'm faced with before my family. And to be honest, I'm a bit surprised that of all people, you guys would put this to me. I'm going to say no. I would rather take both of us to jail than send my wife and kids. You know what? Wow. All three of us.
I'm the lawyer. I didn't do it.
Yeah. A little thing called gross incompetence. Your Honor.
You're gross.
Your Brian, Honor.
Brian, you've inspired me. I had a moment of weakness, and now I don't. I'm going to march right into that courtroom. And I'm going to give this judge a piece of my mind. And I stride over there and I kick open the doors. I say, hey, judge.
Are we in a hypothetical you're going to do this? Am I going to be the judge in your hypothetical?
Hey,
I'm not good at these situations.
Judge, are you there? Can you
hypothetically,
see me?
Yes.
Brian did it.
No.
Oh!
Look, we were all gonna hang out and it was gonna be boys' night, but look at you, you're super husband. So yeah, Brian did it, Bonnie helped. They all need to go to prison immediately.
You know what? Your Honor.
I watched him do it. He fed that dog, man. He said, I love mayonnaise. This has all been an act. Finally, my greatest magic trick of all time reaches its conclusion. Mm-hmm. He fed him. He knew exactly what he was doing. I got this tape. It's me, Brian. Remember that time that I fed the dog?
Brian!
Anyway, go to youtube.com/themodernrogue.
Your Honor, clearly now, that's a fake tape because that's the wrong URL.
Not the right URL.
On fire wallets at scamstuff.com.
Yeah, your Honor, you know, sure, if I did it, I did it because I was told by Justin that if I didn't feed this mayonnaise sandwich to the dogs, he was going to feed mayonnaise to the whole family, including me. Also, he made Bryce deliver the message. So, implication post facto ad absurdum.
Now, hold on, the law. And so think about that.
Yeah,
So, I can't, you know, can't argue with an argument like that. I got to go check my legal law books in the back room.
Me too.
And I got to decide, are you going to space jail or normal jail? And again,
Your Honor, I have fashioned, if you need to, you know, make a call, I have fashioned these dice out of baby teeth if they would be helpful to you.
The wig's off, Brian. It's your friend. Guys, I'm just trying to help out. But okay. Man, it looks bad. It looks bad, guys. It looks bad. It looks really, really bad. Wig's back on. I'm the judge now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I walk over to Brian and give him a little elbow, like, man, this judge is a real piece of work, huh?
I need protection from this man who wants to give me mayonnaise.
Oh, man, wait, hold on, Brian. Are you still pissed off about when I implicated you in this crime?
Look, all I'm saying is if I'm going down, we're both going down, and I'm going to do my best to drag Bryce along.
Now, hold on, we had a plan.
Look. Yeah, I threw you under the bus, man. But guess what? It was just a prank, bro.
Come on,
hey,
man.
Heard about it. Sorry, guys. Cool. I need a bathroom break here. I'm going to go in the back. The judge's chambers is really awesome. Hmm. Don't go anywhere. Keep your eyes on my car keys right here under the gavel. I'm going to be back. I'm going to go to the back room. I'll be right back.
All right. You got it, Your Honor. All right. Listen up.
It's just us here because there's like no bailiff, got eaten. Yeah. There's the jury. It's actually just a bunch of mops that I put googly eyes on. Mm-hmm. But on your own honor, guys. Right, okay.
Go. Enjoy the lounge.
All right.
I'm putting the mop on top of a broom. All right. Putting like my wig on top of a broom. Yeah. Okay, so now it's double cleaning.
All right,
mop.
Get this, guys. We have a decision to make. We have a decision to make. I want you to visualize.
I have to lock the door, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of shy. I'm pee shy. Okay,
That's fine. Close the door.
We got to picture two different futures here. All right, I want you to take a moment.
I just get confused. It might take me a while. Don't get alarmed if you hear me trying to unlatch it and I shake the door because it's like
because it's sticky. Yeah.
I just want you to take a moment, take a deep breath, close your eyes for just a second. And then I run out the door. I grab the keys and I'm just hauling ass running towards that sweet, sweet Andrew Mainmobile.
So you're just going to leave us there?
Yes.
What? Uncool.
Okay. Number one, I run after Brian.
Yeah. Oh, but then you come to a law library with a window, just like Ted Bundy.
Ooh! I paused to read the law books. Maybe there's something in there that'll get us.
The thing about the law is it can help us out.
I kick Brian in the shin as hard as I can, and he comically makes a high pitched noise as the keys go up in the air, and I grab them.
I say, "That was fun. I guess we're going to space jail."
No. Wait. We have a law library window. Let's crawl out of the window.
Yeah,
all right, Brian.
Look.
We each screwed each other. I think we can agree.
Status quo. Quid pro quo.
Status quo. I mean, look, you pulled a funny prank. I pulled a funny prank. We're just a couple of pranksters.
Okay, listen.
Let's get out of here.
Bryce, as our attorney, you have to do what we say. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take these judges' robes and these wigs. I want you to take these law books. I want you to make two things that look like Brian and Justin, and your job is just keep them busy.
Can't I go with you?
Get us. I mean, we'll see you on the other side. I'm sure we'll see you.
You know what? This is good. I told them not to run.
Also, maybe if you feel like, if you don't mind admitting to the crime, that'd be real helpful for us. But
yeah,
I'll
do that one. Wait, I'll also do that one.
It's just a prank defense.
Listen, I'll try that. You guys, you just go. You just go have a good time out on the
hey,
street.
Hey, this is Andrew over the intercom. Don't worry, I have the judge wig on. I left that in the other room. There is such a thing. It is just a prank defense, but the problem is the court can then say your sentence is just a prank too.
But that's good because we'll just be cool about it and it'll be over.
Yeah, what if the prank is we have to eat that mayo sandwich?
It doesn't just make you laugh. It makes you think.
Yeah. All right, let's get out of this window. We'll see you on the flip side, Bryce.
All right.
Hey, guys, if you're about to dive out the window, just be careful. Take a good look at all the feral, flesh-eating cats.
Forgot that the courthouse was a safe house.
Okay, that's right. The mayo. Everybody ate the mayo.
Apocalypse.
Yeah.
I mean, wait a minute. But do we have, because if it's Andrew's car, it's a Tesla. That, can we have it come over here and run over the cats, and then we can like jump
Batman
into
button.
It?
You could do that. Also, the robes that you put on Bryce, there's a lot of catnip in the pocket. Just saying.
Oh no, I'm sticking around.
Bryce is gonna just buy us a little bit of time.
I told him not to go. I told him not to go judge.
The catnip in the pocket.
Yeah, okay, so hold on. I go back and say, hey, Bryce, what you got in them pockets?
Oh,
by the way, in this world, if the suspects flee, the attorney has to pay the price.
Well,
Come on. This isn't my first day in law school.
Yeah, man. I don't know, these are law books.
That's right. That's the law. You know what? Looks like there's some weed in here. Why don't I just go with you guys?
Wait, that's no weed. That's catnip. What if we throw this off to the side?
Yeah.
No. Bryce, you already have the robes on. You go with the robes full of catnip. Go distract the cats.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, like, maybe I can pass the judgment and maybe.
Hey, guys.
I quit.
So here's the deal. All right. So the car is to the right. What I want you to do is run as fast as you can to the left. All right.
All right.
So you distract all the cats and then we'll swing back and pick you up.
All right. Here you go. Ready?
All right. Go.
And next time on Prison Quest, we'll find out what happens.
And the fact that it's called Prison Quest does not augur well for us.
No, it's not called Successful Life.
You guys have stayed a step ahead so far.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, maybe it's the quest to avoid prison.
The Prison Quest, the quest for deferred punishment.
Yes. Let's see. I'm saying, you're making choices.
Hey, do we have any picks?
Oh, I got a pick. Man, oh man, did I really enjoy The Boys. I liked it a lot, and I think you should watch it. And I liked it partly because starts off.
For those of you who don't know, The Boys is a TV series Amazon, and Brian is not making a lifestyle statement.
Yeah, this is not a new Prison Quest episode. It's great. The Amazon original, The Boys, is I dug it. I watched the whole thing in a day.
It's about superheroes, and I don't know if you want to tell people what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, the opening scene is it's a world where you got it's about the Avengers, but not really the Avengers.
Or the Justice League. I mean, you got more of a Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Superman archetype.
Mm-hmm. You could tell kind of what they're going for. Everything from, you know, your Snake Eyes to your Superman to your Aquaman and so on. What I really dug is how much that the whole thing is like a veiled explanation of what Hollywood is like. If the Avengers were real and were working for Disney and who ultimately serves the shareholders and incidentally serves up justice. And as a result, there's a lot of darkness in all of this, and the darkness makes the light parts have a lot more punch to it. I thought it was excellent. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about it more on Cord Killers on Spoiling Time tonight.
So yeah.
CordKillers.com.
Well, I said, I've watched the first two episodes, really enjoyed them, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it. So I'm piggyback on your pick. Mm-hmm. I like The Boys, too.
So you want to know what's interesting is I was trying to find in the comic whether or not there is a reference to the Diamond Club, because apparently there is a Diamond Club reference the Diamond Club's a functioning thing in this show, so... Curious if anyone's read The Boys comic book.
I've heard it the show is pretty divergent from the comics is my understanding. Like this mm-hmm. season mm-hmm. I don't know anything about comics.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. Or I don't maybe I don't know.
No, I'm just saying. Interesting name.
If I was going to give a case for it being a insider's reference, number one, the first episode of the series was directed by a literal friend of the show, Dan Trachtenberg. Second of all, the plot point, there's no neat reason to call it the Diamond Club. They could have just said an exclusive meet and greet or whatever, because it's not even a club thing. But then again, and also it does happen within 30 seconds of a fairly passable representation of a character that Justin has done many times on Night Attack. It's pretty remarkable, but also very likely a coincidence.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, I'm just saying, if the character was named Pastor James Thurgood, he could have dropped a few V's. Mm-mm.
If he had said drop some V's on you, then that would have been all over.
He dropped some V's on you, which is like the catchphrase of this one note character that I do on Night Attack periodically. Then that would have been a wrap. All right. My pick is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I really, really liked it. We're going to talk about it on After Things. But I was charmed. I think it is a very self-indulgent movie for Tarantino, but then again, he's been an indulgent director for his entire career, so that shouldn't surprise you. It is long at 2 hours and 45 minutes, but man, did I just enjoy that world. And if it's for real that he's only going to make 10 movies, then I would very much like him to go into 10-hour miniseries, because I think I could have spent a ton of time with those characters in that world.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we'll talk about it more in After Things. I saw some scuttlebutt that he was doing. Is he doing the next Star Trek movie? Tarantino.
This is the best part about Tarantino release week, is that Tarantino will talk about anything in terms of the things that he wants to do or is going to do, and that's why it's like clockwork. You'll always hear about the Pulp Fiction sequel. You'll always hear about the movie he wanted to do with the Vega brothers between Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction. You'll hear about the Kill Bill sequel. Mm. So this is something that he's apparently worked on, an R-rated Star Trek. We got a little bit more of a hint that it was apparently because he was not a fan of what J.J. Abrams' Kelvin timeline did. But who knows whether or not we will see whether or not it happens. I don't know. I would bet against it.
Weird.
Yeah, it's one of those reoccurring talking. And I want to see Tarantino create his own science fiction universe. I'd rather see that than see him do a Star Trek.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really, I don't know. He's been fairly insistent that he only wants to do 10 movies. He's up to 9. So.
Well, you said the Star Trek wouldn't count. For some reason, their Tarantino logic.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know exactly whether or not he'll be able to just say, oh, I don't make movies.
Very weird, arbitrary goalpost, but yeah.
His thing is that he wants to have a coherent filmography. Like that, like he wants people to just be able to say, okay, I just watched all of his movies. I know what he was about. I can sense common themes. And he doesn't want to do a billion, but whatever. He's weird, and he's Quentin Tarantino, and now, oddly enough, he's like more powerful than he's ever been in his career. So,
I've also got a movie pick. I went and saw this maybe a week or so ago, but I really dug it. It is called The Farewell. Have you guys seen the trailers for this?
Yeah, this is like no.
So it stars Awkwafina as a young woman who finds out that her grandmother in China is about to die or is dying. And so the family concocts this wedding to get everybody together in one place before the grandmother dies, but they don't want to tell the grandmother. And so it talks a little bit about kind of cultural differences between, you know, American, truth and Chinese truth, right? The idea of telling someone they're going to die, even if they're not going to be able to do anything about it. It's very nice.
Oh, do they all hide the news from her?
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. Oh. They concoct this wedding, this Got rushed it. Wedding instead of saying like, hey, this is your big farewell. And so it's based on a true story. It's written and directed by Lulu Wang, and I really liked it. I thought it was really really sweet. It has good funny moments, and it's very strong and emotional, and I think I think you can probably still catch it in theaters. The Farewell.
Yeah, and this is a big dramatic turn for Awkwafina, who has primarily kind of done comedy stuff. She was in Crazy. She was the wacky best friend in Crazy Rich Asians, and she was in Ocean's 12 or whatever. So,
yeah,
whatever the female Ocean one. What was that?
Ocean's 8.
Yes. Mm,
50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
Which is 80%.
Aquafina's great in this, by the way. She's fantastic. She's
yeah,
great.
That, I'd that love seems to see her to be more stuff. All the buzz is that this is a huge kind of like dramatic turn, and she kills it.
Yeah. So
my pick are one, Reinforce Boys so far, very fun. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I loved the film. Loved the film. So, you know, mileage may vary. It's one of these things, it's like mileage will vary on this movie. I loved it. A couple other, you know, friends of mine who saw it, who had loved it, texted me right away to tell me they loved it. Friends of mine who, you know, weren't as in love with it did not. So, you know, but I didn't have anybody, you know, send me terrible texts about it. My pick, I guess, something I've had fun with. I haven't played much because I'm in the middle of like finishing up a book project, but on the Quest, I think it's on other it's on other platforms, I'm sure, is Gun Club, which is a VR game where you play with guns and shoot guns and different kinds of guns. And it's semi-realistic in that you have to put different mounting brackets on the guns, different sights on the guns. And then you go into different environments to go test your guns and shoot your guns. And, you know, the haptic and tactile aspect of it, pretty fun. So it's kind of I'm not a big shooter kind of guy, but, you know, every now and then just to, you know, pick up a P90 and, you know, unload on some targets.
So is it mostly just like fighting against waves of enemies, or is it?
Yeah, it's targets. It's just targets. And part of it is just you're trying to sort of figure out and customize your gun to, you know, what's the right for each situation. You know, sometimes you want distance. Sometimes you're going to need, you're just going to want to have a bigger magazine because they're going to come at you faster.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit so, like doing any of those racing simulators where it's about swapping out engines and brake pads.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Laser sights and scopes and stuff and bracket. You go to this gun shop and you fix up your gun with what you want. And they put you in different scenarios and they build through from like basic target ones to like World War II shooting at Nazis and stuff and all that. And the targets are all 2D. So they always look like 2D targets, versions of it. Mm-hmm. So it's not completely sociopathic.
That's cool. Gun Club VR. It looks like it's on Steam too. So
yeah,
probably get it on the Vive as well.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, and again, if you're looking at VR, I have loved my Quest. My Quest has been the one platform I've played longer than anything else. It's a $400 thing, which, you know, it's not cheap, but considering it's an all-in-one complete VR system, and it's becoming, like, I think the fastest growing VR platform out there, it's pretty exciting, pretty fun. Yeah. You know, if you already have, like, a Rift or a Vive or something like that, it's not as big of a deal. But if you have a small space or you have to connect wires to your computer to use it and it's a pain in the ass, Quest is great. Quest is completely standalone, completely everything self-contained, connects to Wi-Fi, load your games in there, play it, and you define your boundary as wherever you want. And there's some really cool stuff coming out now, too, like demos of where you go into your apartment, your house or whatever, and you lay out a map line of your entire floor plan and games that will adapt and generate to fit that. Mm. And, you know, basically, it will convince you that you walk down a corridor and you get into an elevator and you go up and you're back in your same spot, but it feels like a different place in your house. Mm-mm. Or feels like a different place in the environment. So they're doing really cool stuff with like full, not just room scale, but house scale stuff.
So, very cool.
Cool. It's cool. All right, gentlemen. It's been weird.
See you in space.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.